8:30 p.m. Pacific wartime will not be heard tonight. Your hit parade, usually presented by the makers of Lucky Strike cigarettes over some of these stations at 9 p.m. Pacific wartime, will be heard immediately following the special broadcast. America salutes the President's birthday. America salutes the President's birthday. From New York,
Paul Whiteman, Georgia Gibbs, Jimmy Durante, Gary Moore, Mary Pickford, and Lily Pons.
From Washington,
United States Marine Band and Basil O'Connor.
From London,
Edward R. Morrow and Major Morton Wilson.
From the West Coast,
Bob Hope, Francis Langford, Frank Sinatra, Dinah Shore, Eddie Cantor, Jerry Colonna, Axel Stordalen's Orchestra, and the Santa Ana Air Force Band.
And our President, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And here is our host for the party, Conrad Nagel, distinguished star of stage, screen, and radio. Mr. Nagel.
Thank you, Dan Seymour, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Our nation at war pays tribute to its commander-in-chief. Americans everywhere unite with President Roosevelt to aid the vital and humane cause which, next to global peace, is closest to his heart, the fight against infantile paralysis. Birthday greetings go out from all over the land to the man in the White House and take the form of contributions to the March of Dimes to help banish the scourge of infantile paralysis from our land. I only wish our enemies could look in on these birthday parties tonight. They'd learn something. They'd learn you can't subjugate the American spirit. You can't defeat a people who find time to pause in the midst of the greatest war effort the world has ever known, to devote themselves to charity, to humanity. But now, on with our party here at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York. The biggest and best birthday party the world has ever seen. Paul Whiteman, the undisputed king of jazz, gets our party underway with I Got Rhythm. Party ever got off to a better start than that, I'm sure. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I take great personal pleasure in presenting our guest of honor at our birthday party here in New York, a very lovely lady, America's sweetheart, Miss Mary Pickford.
Good evening, everybody, and happy birthday, Mr. President.
Tell me, Miss Pickford, haven't you just returned from an extended tour on behalf of your activities as chairman of the March of Dimes Women's Division?
Yes, Mr. Nagel, I went all through the South and Middle West. They are not only doing a magnificent job on the March of Dimes campaign, but they will be the year-round frontliners in the fight against infantile paralysis.
Well, that's certainly grand, Miss Pickford. You're to be congratulated on the splendid work. It's been an inspiration to all of us.
Thank you, Mr. Nagel. I'd like to remind your listeners that now is the time to send in their dimes and dollars to President Roosevelt at the White House.
And I'm sure they will. Thank you very, very much. Merry Pictures. And now here's one of radio's lovely singing stars, Miss Georgia Gibbs, accompanied by Paul Whiteman and his orchestra. She sings When They Ask About You.
I'm so afraid of going out, and I'm so tired of staying in. My future doesn't look serene, 'cause every time that I go out, I wish that I'd stayed in. It's always the same routine when I go for a walk and meet old friends we knew. We sit around and talk, then they ask about you. What's the good if I say
Thank you. That was grand. Miss Georgia Gibbs. Now ready to contribute to the festivities of this great birthday party are two of America's favorite comedians, Gary Moore and Jimmy Durante. See, lurking somewhere out here in the background is... Oh, here he is, Gary Moore.
Thank you. Thank you, Conrad, very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gary Moore. It's certainly a thrill to be with you all tonight in the Waldorf Hotel. As a matter of fact, with a housing shortage the way it is, it's a thrill to be in a hotel at all.
Well, offhand, I think this is a very glamorous gathering, don't you, Gary?
Oh, indeed I do. But then, Conrad, nowadays everything is glamorous. You take the Western Union boys, for instance. Nowadays, the Western Union boys are calling themselves communication carriers. Hog callers have become pork persuaders. Street cleaners are curb chiropractors. And this morning, my garbage man informed me that he is now a used vitamin convoy. That's a fact, and you can believe this or not, Conrad, but even Jimmy Durante has become a glamour boy.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, Conrad, yes.
Well, where is the great schnoz tonight?
Well, that's just it, Conrad. I don't know. The last thing I said to him is... Oh, excuse me. Hello?
Hello, Junior. This is Jimmy.
Jimmy, we're on the air. Where are you?
I was riding up Fifth Avenue in a double-decker bus, and I stood up.
Well, so what?
So come and get me. I'm in a 3 on 89th Street.
And sure enough, here he is. Jimmy Durante, in person.
You've got to start off each day with a song.
Oh, sing it, Jimmy.
Now, even when things go wrong.
Yeah, hot tonight.
Why, you feel better. You even look better. Ah, the voice of the turtle. You know, Gary, I held that note especially for the March of Dimes. If it hadn't been the March of Quarters, I'd have collapsed.
Jimmy, a fine time for you to show. A broadcast as important as this one, with Lily Pons, Paul Whiteman, Bob Hope, President Roosevelt.
President Roosevelt? How do you like that? Everybody wants to get into the act.
Oh, dear. Well, now that you're here, Well, now that you're here, Jimmy, let's get to work. Tonight, friends, the Durante Moore Stock Company is presenting a mighty drama about nature, entitled The Skunk Family Runs Into Trouble, or Kneel, Children, and Let Us Spray.
Wait a minute. The drama is off.
Jimmy, what's the matter?
Our leading lady just called up and said she's indisposed.
Oh, great. Now what are we going to do?
Don't worry your fuzzy little head about that, Junior. I'll just tell a joke. You know, folks, I'm standing out in front of the Astor Hotel, minding my own business, just commuting with nature.
No, Jimmy, wait a minute. Listen, if we're supposed to occupy 5 minutes of this broadcast, and if you're going to tell a joke, we'll have to spread it out and make it last. Here, now, I've taken one little joke and written it out so as it'll really take up time. Now, you read over my shoulder here.
How do you like that? Now he wants me to read. Him and his education.
Well, it's very simple. You just read what it says on the paper. Now, the joke starts out where I say to you, oh, Jimmy.
Yes, Junior?
I got a new job, Jimmy.
You've got a new job, Junior?
Yes, I got a new job, Jimmy.
Well, tell me, where is your new job located, Junior?
Where's my new job located, Jimmy?
Yes, where is your new job located, Junior?
Well, my new job is located in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy.
Your new job is located in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Junior?
Yes, my new job is located in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy.
I'm trapped. Well, tell me, who is your new job with in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Junior?
Why, my new job is with a four-story, first-storage store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy.
Your new job is with a four-story, first-storage store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Junior.
Yes, my new job is with a four-story, first-storage store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy.
All I want to do is survive. Now, tell me, who do you work for in your new job with a four-story, first-storage store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Junior?
Why, I work for the gink who shrinks, sinks, and links at a four-story, first-storage store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy.
You work for the gink who shrinks, sinks, and links at a four-story, first-storage store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Junior?
Yes, I work for the gink who shrinks, sinks, and links at a four-story, first-storage store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy.
That's all, brother. You may erase me as an acquaintance. But tell me, what are you doing, your new job at the Ginkgo Shrinks, Minks, and Links in the four-story, four-story store in your tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Junior?
Why, I'm one of the punks who dunks monks and skunks for the Ginkgo Shrinks, Minks, and Links in the four-story, first-story store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy?
You're the one who punks who dunks skunks and skunks for the Ginkgo Shrinks, Minks, and Links in the four-story... I can't do it. Come on! In a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy? I mean, Junior...
Yes, I'm one of the punks who dunks monks and skunks for the gink who shrinks, makes a link to the four-story, first-story store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy.
Freedom of speech. Well, tell me, how is your new job in one of the punks who dunks monks and skunks for the gink who shrinks, makes a link to the four-story store in a tiny town in Tennessee?
It's the old skin game, Jimmy, the old skin game. Isn't that awful?
Well, you know, folks, there must be an easier way to make a living.
Thank you. Thank you, Gary Moore and Jimmy Durante. For our next salute to the President, we take you to the Marine Barracks in Washington, where you'll hear a medley of Navy tunes with a Marine band under the direction of Captain Santelman. This band, incidentally, is known as the President's Own Band. Take it away, Washington.
Thank you.
direct salute to the President's birthday comes to us from the Army Air Force at Santa Ana, California, where we'll hear the famous Army Air Force Orchestra and the 24 Boy Soldiers Chorus under Major Eddie Dunstetter. The band will play a medley of tunes from the Army Air Force show Winged Victory, currently packing them in on Broadway, including the title song and the haunting melody, My Dream Book of Memories. Here we go to Santa Ana, California.
Salute to the President's birthday. So here we go for 20 star-studded minutes of mirth and melody with Movie Land's top-notch performers, including Bob Hope, Frank Sinatra, Dinah Shore, Francis Langford, Jerry Colonna, Axel Stordahl, and his orchestra. Okay, Hollywood.
Thank you very much. Thank you. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob March of Dimes Hope. telling all you generous Americans to send the president a dime for a birthday present so some kid can have a future. Well, here I am in the March of Dimes. You know what a dime is. That's a little thing that when you leave it on a plate for a Hollywood waiter, he comes up, bows low in front of you, then spits right in your eye. But it's an honor to be on this big March of Dimes show. They picked me because there are some song numbers to be introduced, and I was the only one that could pronounce the name of that new hit, I had relatives on the committee. And there are a lot of stars on this program, and a big crowd was waiting outside the stage door. I didn't realize I was so popular. You should have seen the autograph hounds collect around me. But they left on account of a sneaky thing Frank Sinatra did. He told them he was Frank Sinatra. One fan ran up and tore the shirt off my back, and I said, "Souvenir?" He said, "No, my laundry didn't come back this way." A fan tried to tear the shirt off of Crosby's back the other night, but he got an awful shock. The wiring short-circuited. But everyone in Hollywood is contributing to this cause. Bing auctioned off one of his best horses, took the money, added 3 cents, and turned in his dime. A lot of losers here tonight, huh? I started to go around and collect dimes, but everybody in Hollywood is sick, and I'm afraid to go near him. Dorothy Lamour has a cold. Hedy Lamarr has the flu. Gypsy Rose Lee has a strep throat. But all the Republicans mail their dimes to President Roosevelt in Washington. It's the only chance they get to see any change in the White House. The Republicans were worried about the soldier vote, so they took a poll of some of the army camps last week. Wilkie got 100,000 votes, Roosevelt 150,000, and Betty Grable 9 million. And tonight is the president's birthday, too, and I just found out the president doesn't bother blowing out the candles on his cake. He just waits for Eleanor to go by, and the breeze takes it from there. And here's a young lady that's always working for some worthy cause. One of America's favorite singers, Miss Frances Langford.
Like the beat, beat, beat of the tom-tom, when the jungle shadows fall, like the tick, tick, tock of the stately clock as it stands against the wall. Like the drip, drip, drip of the raindrops when the summer shower is through. So a voice within me keeps repeating, you, 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 night and day. and its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you.
Thank you. That was wonderful. And you look lovely tonight. You look like you just stepped out of Vogue.
Thanks, Bob. You look a little out of Vogue yourself.
Now, wait a minute, Frances. I'm not so old. I get these wrinkles from sleeping on my tires.
I suppose you're a little disappointed tonight, Bob.
Disappointed? What do you mean?
Well, we work together on our own show. Don't you get tired of introducing Frances Langford? Wouldn't you prefer a more glamorous name, say, Dorothy Lamour or Hedy Lamarr up here?
The syllables may be different, but the measurement's about the same. All right. Hey, thank you. Now, here's a young man who will inspire a lot of people to send their dimes into the president. The latest voice of the people, Frank Sinatra.
Speak low, when you speak love, our summer day withers away, too soon, speak low, when you speak love, our moment is swift, like ships adrift. We're swept apart too soon. Speak low, darling, speak low. Love is a spark lost in the dark. Too soon, I feel. That tomorrow is near, tomorrow is here, and always too soon. Time is so old and love so brief. Love is pure gold and time a thief. Descend, everything ends too soon.
Really, that was great. You know, that reminded me of my singing days.
You got sort of a gruesome memory, haven't you?
Listen, Frank, I'll have you know I do sing more over at the Paramount lot, but there's a lot of politics there. You know, with you-know-who.
Uh-huh.
Say, you know, Paramount used to... Your father. Say, Paramount... Paramount used to bill me as a second Nelson Eddy, you know.
What made him stop?
Nelson Eddy.
Bob, he's a wonderful singer. He used to be on the Ford Symphony out here.
So what? I used to be on the assembly line for the same people. You should have heard my voice, Frank. I had a very mysterious voice, very high. In fact, I was the air raid siren of my day.
So you were a boy soprano,
That's right.
When did your voice change?
Well, the day I rode my bicycle into a brick wall with a lollipop in my mouth.
Say, Bob, did you live in one of those high-tone sections?
No, the neighborhood wasn't exactly Fifth Avenue. In fact, we used to slug a rat to get the pitch.
How's about letting us hear you sing now?
Well, I'd sing, but I'm warning you, I sing through my nose.
Well, never mind. I can't wait that long.
Say, but honestly, Frank, I anticipate a lot of fun between Bing and yourself at the Warbound Golf Match tomorrow at Lakeside Country Club.
Yes, I think so, too, Bob. We've been talking about it all week now, and I can't wait till tomorrow. You and Crosby play a lot of golf together, don't you?
Well, we did, but not anymore. Would you play with a guy who cheats and when nobody's looking picks up his ball and throws it toward the hole? Would you?
No, sir, not me.
Neither will Crosby. Is dedicated to the health of our younger citizens of this country, and here is a health expert that is well qualified to speak on the subject, Professor Dumbbell Colonna. Hey, Professor Colonna,
I'll be with you in a minute, Hope. I'm trying to pick up 100 pounds. Other fella had a better car.
Well, Colonna, I suppose you're feeling A1 tonight.
What's that mean?
A1, that means ready to go.
No, I feel 1A.
What's that mean?
You already went.
Colonna, tell these people how you got so healthy.
Well, the reason I'm so healthy is that I started life as a small boy.
Well, weren't you a baby first?
No, I had to start off as a small boy. You see, my folks didn't like babies.
You know, Professor, you're a first-class idiot.
Is that better than a second-rate comedian?
You bring somebody in with you? Look, I just bought myself a wonderful horse. Do you take
you
much exercise yourself?
I do. I always... You see, I ride horseback, too.
No
yes,
kidding.
Really? I do every morning, morning. But I'll have to give it up. It's a little too strenuous for me.
Well, what's so strenuous about riding every morning on a horse?
Well, I'm supposed to ride on him?
Look, shrub mug, looking at you, I don't think you should give these people health hints. You don't seem to have much of a physique.
Oh, now hold on there. You can't speak about my physique like that. Did you ever see me in a bathing suit?
Yes, I've seen you in a bathing suit.
Roly-poly, son of a gun-a-day.
Well, how about giving me some health exercises, Colonna?
Okay. Take a deep breath. Now, take another deep breath. Don't I smell pretty?
Colonna, you're without parallel.
Well, I know. He had to go down to take his physical.
Look, Professor, what makes you act this way?
Well, I'll confess. I never told this to anyone. But a year ago, I died.
If you died a year ago, how come you're still around?
Well, my subscription to Esquire still has 6 months to go.
Colonna, suppose you continue your health message by giving exercises.
Ah, yes. Now, listeners and audience, here's our health exercise. It's the healthiest thing we can do. Deep breathing. Now, all together, I want all of you to take the deepest breath possible. All together. Now, one, two, three.
What happened?
That lady in the third row overdid it.
Thank you, Jerry. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the South's a great place. Honeysuckle, magnolia, mint juleps, and girls with voices soft as the southern moon. But the South's fighting country, too. They're helping fight that Nazi paper hanger back up against the wall, and the old South's pushing old man polio around tonight. Folks, here's one of old Mason Dixon's favorite daughters, Dinah Shore.
Shh. shoo, 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 baby. Shoo, 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 baby. Shoo, 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 baby. Your daddy's off to the seven seas. Bye, 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 baby. Oh, don't cry, baby. Bye, 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 baby. When I come back, we'll live a life of ease. Seems kind of tough now to say goodbye this way. But Daddy's gotta be rough now so that he can be sweet to you another day. Bye, 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 baby. Oh, don't cry, baby. Shoo, 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 baby. Your daddy's off to the seven seas.
Memory. Please, for your dial, don't reach. What comes up's a peach. You'll soon hear Eddie Cantor, then our Mr. Roosevelt speech. And thank you so much. And thanks for the memory. The march of every dime is racing against time to help some crippled child to health and make a life sublime. They'll thank you so much. Let's keep dimes on the march to the White House and back up the Warm Springs Foundation. Polio is a foe of the nation, but we can win if we kick in.
Our salute to the President's birthday takes us now to San Francisco, where Eddie Cantor, chairman of the March of Dimes of the Air, stands gripping the microphone with both hands. Take it away, Eddie.
Happy birthday, Mr. President. Here in San Francisco, parties celebrating your birthday are just getting underway. It is certainly going to be a great event, Mr. President, and I'm mighty proud to be a part of this program which is being broadcast around the world. Those in charge of this program asked me to sing, and I would do it, but I'm so afraid it might hurt Frank Sinatra, and he's such a frail lad, you know? Besides, he just has a new baby. Two children he has, the amateur. And they've also asked me to do some of my funny stuff, but I didn't want to interfere with the opportunity given this new comedian, Bob Hoppy or Hooper?
Hope, that's the name, Hope.
Yes, but I still have the honor of presenting the man who guides the destinies of the dimes and dollars you enlist in the March of Dimes. A fine and distinguished gentleman, my good friend, the president of the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis, Mr. Basil O'Connor.
Tonight, as I sit here behind these microphones, I have on the table before me a pile of silvery dimes. They are but a few of the many millions of dimes that have been marching to the White House in a steady column during the past 2 weeks. These dimes are a symbol of the kindliness and humanism of a great people, our people, who even in the midst of a global war have responded so eagerly to the call to fight on against infantile paralysis. If these dimes could speak, they would tell today's story of the homes, the offices, the factories, the farms, the schools, and the service camps from which they have come, and of the men and women and children who gave them that others might be like them. One dime might tell us that it came from the worn pocketbook of a saving mother, another from the vest pocket of the rich or the patch pocket of the poor. Still others from the navy blue blouse of a sailor, the leather jacket of an army pilot, or the overalls of a war worker. If these dimes could speak, they might describe the many hands that dropped them into mailboxes all over America. The tiny, lovable hands of little children. The slender, beautiful hands with polished nails. The strong, steady hands of soldiers, sailors, and marines. Hands of workers, grimy with the dirt of farm and mine and factory. Hands carrying history in their wrinkles and their lines. Yes, if these dimes could speak, they would tell us whence they came. Big cities, production centers, villages behind the hills, from every section of these United States and from beyond, from fighting men in the far corners of the earth. They would tell us of hurrying by ship and train and plane to reach their destination on the appointed day. If these dimes could speak, they would pay tribute to the incredible number of volunteers who helped to carry to successful conclusion all the details of this amazing campaign that finds support in every home and dwelling in this country. America responding to the cry for help. The list of those who have given unstintingly of their time and energy is the census of the American people. Truly, this 1944 campaign of the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis, this March of Dimes, this celebration of the president's birthday has shown again the greatness of the heart of America. If these dimes could speak, they could tell of sacrifices made in the giving and of the spirit of giving that sanctifies even the smallest gift. For such gifts and for that spirit of giving, I thank the people of America, and I thank particularly the one whose courage and faith has made so much of all this possible, the President of the United States of America.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, on behalf of the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis, I wish to express heartfelt thanks to all of you who have contributed your dimes and your dollars to further the fight against a cruel disease. A disease which strikes primarily against little children. The generous participation of the American people in this fight is a sign of the healthy condition of our nation. It is democracy in action. The unity of our people in helping those who are disabled, in protecting the welfare of our young, in preserving the eternal principle of kindliness. All of this is evidence of our fundamental strength, the strength with which we are meeting our enemies throughout the world. Early in our history, we realize that the basic wealth of our land is in its healthy, enlightened children, trained to assume the responsibilities and enjoy the privileges of a democracy. The well-being of our youth is indeed our foremost concern. Their health and happiness, our enduring responsibility. If any become handicapped from any cause, we are determined that they shall be properly cared for and guided to full and useful lives. How different it is in the lands of our enemies. In Germany and Japan, those who are handicapped in body or mind are regarded as unnecessary burdens to the state. There, an individual's usefulness is measured solely by the direct contribution that he can make to the war machine, not by his service to a society at peace. The dread disease that we battle at home, like the enemy we oppose abroad, shows no concern, no pity for the young. It strikes with its most frequent and devastating force against children. And that is why much of the future strength of America depends upon the success that we achieve in combating this disease. The dollars and the dimes that you contribute are the victory bonds that buy the ammunition for this fight against disease, just as the war bonds you purchase help to finance the fight against tyranny. Tonight I am happy to receive the report that your generous aid has made possible another year of progress against this malady. We are prepared to fight it with the planned strategy of a military campaign, not only because the enemy is a merciless and insidious one, but because the danger of epidemic in wartime makes this fight an actual military necessity. The tireless men and women working night and day over test tubes and microscopes, searching for drugs and serums, for methods that will prevent and cure. These are workers on the production line in this war against disease. The gallant chapter workers, the doctors and nurses in our hospitals, the public health officials, the volunteers who go into epidemic areas to help the physician. These are frontline fighters. And just as in war, there is that subtle weapon that more than anything else spells victory or defeat. That weapon is morale. The morale of a people who know that they are fighting the good fight, that they are keeping the faith, the only faith through which civilization can survive, the faith that man must live to help and not to destroy his fellow man. We are engaged now in the fourth war bond campaign. The outpouring of American dollars in this campaign will assure that superiority of fighting equipment with which we shall blast our way to Berlin and Tokyo. It will also serve notice that we Americans are irrevocably united in determination to end this war as quickly as possible in the unconditional surrender of our enemies. Every one of us has a chance to participate in victory by buying war bonds. Tonight, in the midst of a terrible war against tyranny and savagery, it is not easy for us to celebrate. There cannot be much happiness in our hearts as we contemplate the kind of enemies we face and the very grimness of the task that lies before us. But we may thank God that here in our country we are keeping alive the spirit of goodwill toward one another. That spirit which is the very essence of the cause for which we fight. Godspeed the spirit of goodwill.
For our last salute to President Roosevelt's birthday, we return now to the Waldorf Astoria in New York. Miss Lily Ponce.
From coast to coast and via shortwave from London, Americans everywhere have united tonight to salute President Roosevelt on his birthday. They have joined with him in the March of Dimes to help banish infantile paralysis from our land. Our program tonight came to you from New York, London, Washington, Santa Ana, San Francisco, and Hollywood. All those appearing tonight contributed their services. And the four networks, the Columbia Broadcasting System, the National Broadcasting Company, the Mutual Broadcasting System, and the Blue Network, have joined their facilities to present this salute to the President on his birthday. Happy birthday, Mr. President.